I'm very happy now to welcome to the program novelist and poet Anya Ochtenberg. She is author of the new book Blue Earth, and she will be speaking tonight and signing books at Collected Works Bookstore. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much.
So this is a novel set in Minnesota, where you live.
Yes.
And have put down some roots over
over couple
the years. Yes.
Yeah.
And it's a story of a farmer and yet another farm crisis in the history of 20th century America, namely that time in the 80s when a lot of people lost their farms.
Yes, yes. And it's also, I mean, it struck me, I'm not from Minnesota, I'm a New Yorker. Agriculture for me was growing the top of a carrot in a milk container. So, but I was always I was extremely fascinated by Minnesota when I first went there, in part also because so many people lived in houses and had land and had a car and a yard and this kind of thing. And coming from New York, from where I'm from, the idea of owning anything or of having a place that was indeed in some way yours was certainly very attractive and also very confusing. And I was there a long time ago, and I went back and I was doing research and ended up living there for a period, though I may not stay. But what always comes forward is the same story and effect that comes forward in many places, but is very particular to the United States in the theft of the land from Native peoples, the genocidal policies against them. And so in Minnesota, there's a very central event, which apparently a lot of people don't even know about. And that is well, most of the land was taken, close to 40 million acres were taken between 1851 and 1858, and the treaties had provided for food and money and all kinds of things, and were, of course, broken. And when people were starving, the native peoples were starving, the Dakota were starving, and the traders, all food was warehoused and people were turned away. Indeed, there was a trader named Trader Myrick, who, when some Dakota people came to him and said, "Look, you know, we our people are starving," he said, a quote, basically, let them eat grass or their own dung. And so that was a sort of a last straw, a really nice guy. And so there, things happened as things do.
He came to an unhappy end,
yes,
shall we say.
He did.
That readers might say was well deserved.
It seems so. But it just the way that, and then the Dakota, many Dakota rose up, and it was a very, very difficult situation, and people were very torn, but people were killed. Many Dakota were killed. Many of the white settlers were killed. And there were many Dakota arrested. About 304 were condemned to death, and Lincoln commuted most of that. And the trials were sort of, 5 minutes, you're guilty, kind of a trial.
Yeah.
So 38 Dakota were hung at the same time in the largest mass execution in the United States in 1862 in Mankato, Minnesota. Mankato comes from the Dakota word Makata, which means blue earth because of copper deposits in the rivers that turn this beautiful clay blue-green.
Right.
So my question always is, where are we standing, and what sits in people? What of the larger history and what of the individual histories sit in people, and how does that form them, and how does that deform them, and if there's an amnesia about it? And so it's a kind of it's really looking at how that sits in this character carver, who's not always who's not a nice guy.
No, he's not very nice.
But he's not Hitler, but he's really...
He lost his land.
He did. He's very pissed off. And he moves to the cities. He becomes obsessed because his wife leaves him taking their little girl. And he becomes obsessed with a beautiful little girl named Angie, who's the daughter of a working class couple who have been really bruised by a life of toil, and really sweet, really good people.
And he saves her life at some point early on, and for some reason makes her keep it a secret.
Yes.
And then becomes obsessed with her for the rest of the book.
Yeah, yeah, he does. And of course, when she, as she grows up, and she and her family become very close to a woman and her nephew, who are Dakota, and Carver cannot put this into his vision of the world. And she herself, the little girl herself, is a part Dakota from her father's side.
Right.
But there's, so the whole question of, and she doesn't, quote, look it, and so Carver just can't bear it. And it's, and part of it is just his coming to terms with the world that is, and the way, and his own history, his family history, and his sort of place in the world that has to do with this history of Minnesota. And it's a,
well, there's a big irony to it, because he's pretty overtly racist.
Yes.
Against the Indian people, and yes, and can't bear the idea that this young woman is romantically interested in this young Indian man.
Yeah.
Who's very nice. We like
right.
him. The readers like him very much. We like her too.
Yeah.
And but Carver, your protagonist, just can't stand it. And when you think about it, he's got a lot in common with them, because the white people took away the land from the Indians, and the bankers took the land
yes.
away from him.
Yes. And this is what's so sort of painful and moving, because the more research I did and people I spoke to, I mean, I understood that farming was difficult. I didn't understand how incredibly dangerous it was, for instance, that there were clinics set up. They were so used to people hacking off a limb in their work that clinics were set up nearby so they just could, you know, put it back on. And so, you know, it's incredibly dangerous, incredibly difficult. All kinds of cancers came out of, you know, using of pesticides and that kind of thing, which has affected one of the other characters, Angie's mother.
Right.
So it, you know, it was trying to just bring forward a larger picture, because the pictures are so often very separate. And so there's not the sort of imaginative space for, well, how does we all these people live in the same world, and how, what does that mean for, with all the separations, and how is that history shared and intertwined, and all of that without losing the sight of the workings of power.
Right.
And what that's meant. So it's you know, the book came in part, it was going to be a short story.
And it got away from you?
It did. And that Carver wasn't even there at the beginning.
You're kidding.
No, I had nothing to do with such a person. There was not...
Yeah, almost every time I talk to a fiction writer, they talk about characters just walking in, unbidden.
Yes, absolutely. I am a Jewish daughter of immigrants who lost various people and this guy is a German-American Lutheran farmer. I mean, I've been sort of in diaspora and in my own sort of exile and moving around. People who know me know I have a lot of addresses. And so there's Carver, and they've had the land for 150 years, and with that sort of sense that nothing existed before. And this is, of course, a story that is repeated all over the world. This is the successive displacements from the land.
Right.
And so I think in that sense it's an important story. And it's also, very few people in the United States know that specific story about the Dakota conflict and the mass execution.
Yeah, I didn't know until I read the prologue.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it seems to me a central story to this country, and also that global story that, I mean, I don't even... You know, there are various places where that successive displacement is the entire story of that place, you know.
And it's a story of, without sounding too, I don't know what, but it's a story of healing.
Uh-huh.
It's a story of healing from personal and social afflictions mm-hmm. that affect one's mind and soul.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, that's... it's very... I sort of am I read the text of the world, and I, you know, and I, And it's very, I think it's very, very important to understand one's own afflictions in context, one's own pains in context. And that idea, I'm always kind of coming up against the cutoff point, the border, that, well, this is important because this was recent and that, you know, that didn't happen, or that's not important, or that. And there's just enormous amnesia, certainly about, you know, where this country comes from in terms of its land, its resources, its labor, and where its wealth came from. And
there's a moment where this woman, Dakota Indian, who has this very amiable nephew, says to Carver, in when he's in a really bad way, bad state of mind, yeah, "You are a repeater."
Yes.
And I thought, you know, and by which she means he's just doing bad things by rote without thinking why he's doing them, and without really having even any good reason for doing them. And it's to me like he's a repeater, but we're also cultural repeaters.
Yes, yes. And that, I mean, that, I don't know where that sort of the naming of it came from, but it felt to me quite important, and that this was somebody, you know, sort of running in circles and following his own tail. That, and one can see also, I mean, he was described as heinous by an editor in New York. And I'm sort of like, yeah, she said, you know, your writing's really nice, but this guy is so heinous, people can't deal with it. I'm like, but did you read the papers today? Did you look out there? There's a lot of heinous thingies going on out there. So, you know, that the way that he did walk in, because it was really about Barb and Angie, and Barb is someone who's sort of, who came off the farms, who worked at Honeywell in Minneapolis.
Making cluster bombs.
Exactly, yeah.
And got sick from it.
Yeah, and didn't, you know, and was just, was a good person who, that was the first job she ever had really off the farm. And it was an extraordinary thing, in a sense, to be freed from the labor of the farm, and didn't know until she knew.
Yeah.
And acted on it when, you know, when she knew. Yeah. So,
well, it's a gripping read and
you.
Very beautifully written.
Thank you.
The book is called Blue Earth by Anya Ochtenberg, and you will be at Collected Works Bookstore tonight,
yes,
at 6:00.
Yes.
Now, has this book been well received so far?
It has. I started with a reading in Minnesota. This is early in a kind of long series of book tours through the year, but I started at a reading at Subtext Books in St. Paul, and expecting perhaps tomatoes, because I am a little Jewish girl from Brooklyn. Yeah, what the heck? And it was, the discussion after was quite moving to me, because people really have found this to echo their experience and to pull forward from them things that they have thought about and haven't wanted to think about. And so far so good, and I'm going to be doing some hard traveling with it, so thank you.
Well, Anya Ochtenberg, we look forward to seeing you tonight at Collected Works at 6:00.
Thank you.